The Reserve Pool, Episode 48, DC Set Review, Part 2. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Reserve Pool, a podcast about Dice Masters and all the people who love to play it. This is Dave.
And this is Evan.
And, well, we're thrilled to be here with you again. As we record this, Canadian Nationals, of course, are going on. And while I would love to be there, perhaps next year, we do have a couple of Reserve Pool community folks, one of friend of Randy's, actually, currently battling it out in the top four. But what a good night for Dice Masters.
Yes, it is a lovely night for Dice Masters and a lovely night in general.
Sure. Oh, yeah, we had a fantastic dinner this evening. We did a whole bunch of cooking today. Definitely a good weekend on my end.
Yes, I was unfortunately sick, but I still managed to get some cooking done. Not as much as I'd like. I'd wanted to make three different dishes, but only ended up making one.
Oh, we got all four in. We got all four. I'm pretty happy about that. But then again, we kind of have extra... We have four hands instead of two, so I suppose.
Actually, I'm an octopus, but no, well, I'm kidding.
Actually, it's true, folks. If you saw him at Nationals, you know Evan is an octopus.
Yep. The extra hands make me good at math. More fingers to count on.
Yeah, that would do it. That would do it. All right. Well, we're not here to talk about being an octopus.
Cephalopods.
No, we're not here for that. We're here to talk about Dice Masters. The first thing, and obviously...
This is not an octopodcast.
Very well done. Wow. Oh, geez. All right, well, first thing, obviously, we have we have DC is out this week, and so it's a good thing we're finishing up the second part of our DC set review. We're going to hear the basic action cards, the rares, and the super rares today. Now, I got to say, just in general... the commons and the uncommons are generally what really drive a draft. They're either what get you enough copies of a rarer die, of like a rarer card's die, or just like they have the abilities. Like we already talked about things with Firestorm and whatever else. They're the ones that have some of the abilities that you are going to be able to access to help build your team around. When you're talking a rare or super rare, no matter how good they are, well, there's no guarantee that anybody in your draft pod will have that.
Right, but that said, you still need to look for ones that if you see them, you know you have to snag them right away.
You sure do. You need to know how and why to use them. So that's what we want you to be armed with if you have some DC stuff this weekend. If you're getting a gravity feed, great. Open it up, get some friends together, play sealed. Make sure they know it's your cards, or even rainbow draft it. There's plenty of ways to celebrate the release of a set, even if set releases aren't a thing for this game like they are for Magic.
Yeah, I would not advise doing the like ice bucket challenge with dice, though. The dice bucket challenge. Yes, in fact,
that might hurt.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, actually, no. They're small. It might be okay.
Yeah, talk about cleanup or something.
Talk about cleanup. No, so no dice bucket challenges. The second thing is that we're very excited to say that. So I feel like we've had like so many things kind of close to the vest the last several weeks, in months even. We were working on the website, and then we were working on features for the website and everything else. Well, we're about to play another card, or I guess in this case, roll another die. We are going to be developing a sister show, and you will actually hear this. This is going to release on Tuesdays, bi-weekly. So starting next Tuesday, May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo. We are going to have a new show, so you'll hear us in May the 5th and the 19th, and then we'll continue through June 2nd and so forth and so on. So every 2 weeks, and this one is going to be very much geared towards competitive play, be it draft, be it constructed, whatever it is, it's incredibly geared towards that kind of stuff, a little more strategy and everything else. The Reserve Pool is the flagship. It always will be. It is a variety show. We have a little bit of everything. We talk about building your scene. We talk about strategy. We talk about card evaluation. We talk about themes. We talk about how do all of these Avengers work? Do they work? How do these villains work? Do they work? Things like that. We talk about our favorite dice. We talk about everything here. We wanted to have a show that was very much focused on a few strategic aspects, mostly because there are so many topics we want to do for this one and absolutely no time to do every single one of them like when we want to do them, when they're relevant. And that's sort of necessitated the addition.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's tough to, when there's, you know, a set coming out every 6 weeks or something, and then that's two shows just talking about the cards, and then, you know, talking about a few other things, and suddenly have no time to talk about, you know, to get into some real deep strategy. Maybe you can do one show every month and a half, and it's just
not
enough.
We were lucky in February, but that was sort of as we were gearing up towards deciding, you know, we're going to do the set reviews this way,
right,
and things like that. So in the case of this show, Randy is going to jump in the co-host seat, so you'll get to hear that guy a little more often. I have to say we have even more in the works. But, yes, we are adding an additional show, so I guess we're not just the Reserve Pool. We are the Reserve Pool Network.
Yep.
Well, and that's fun. I think it's going to be a great amount of fun. You know, even within competitive play, I think we very much focus on having fun and enjoying the game. I know that the best stories I have coming out of Nationals from qualifiers, even my worst matches all the way up into the top eight, was just the people that I played against and the conversations that we had and everything like that. I think if you see on the stream, almost every match, just the fun that we were having, like especially the games I was involved in, just because I know the conversations we were having during the game. I hope you can see the fun we're having. We were laughing and carrying on even as we were playing a game seriously. So no matter what, this is a fun game, and we want to capture the fun. But sometimes you have more fun when you're playing well, and that's my mindset. So,
yeah, no, I mean, I definitely had the same feeling where it was never, you know, that sort of oppressive, no one cares about, you know, enjoying each other. They just want to win. And no, there was none of that.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, we can say it over and over again, but that is certainly a great thing about this community.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into the reviews here. We are going to start with the basic action cards. We are going to ask, Evan did allude to the fact that he is a little bit under the weather, so if you hear a little sniffle here or there or whatever else, just...
Or if I just sound a little more nasal than usual.
Yeah, if he sounds a little more nasal than too. Don't think, why? What is with the sound quality? Think, I feel a little bit better, Evan. Because
yes, please.
Well, I hope by Thursday you kick this.
I'm tired of having a cold.
Yes. All right, so let's just review real quick our rating system. Let me remind everybody that the ratings are a punctuation mark on the conversation. They are not, this is the rating and this is what it will be forever. That is rarely, it just doesn't always stick. Some things will stick,
nope,
but they don't always.
Keep in mind, there are characters who, you know, everybody said this is terrible, and suddenly we're finding used to them, like Weather Witch.
Oh my goodness, how about I saw at Nationals, and I mentioned this in passing in an article, but one of the guys had, it was a super rare Emma Frost. And you know what? With all of the fist nonsense going around with Ant-Mans and Black Widows
and
Hulks and Wolverines and Spider-Mans, wow, that's actually not a bad play.
Yep.
So everything old is new again and all that kind of stuff. We're still at the beginning of this set. So we have everything on a scale of 1 through 5. If something's horrible, I suppose we'll have a 0. I think we might have had I had a negative 1 last week. yeah, that was the Vixen common. But a 5 is take it. First pick every time. This is going to set the direction for your team. You got it. Maybe it sets a direction while keeping you open, even. Like Firestorm is Bolts and Justice League, and he's like the guy for Bolts. But he fits into Justice League, too. You know, 4s are pretty good. These could set your directions. They might not. It might not be the greatest direction.
Or they may just be really solid cards that, you know, sort of fit in anywhere. They're not necessarily a game winner, but they're really solid, and there's no reason not to take them.
Exactly. They keep you open. Like, for example, I think the common Cheetah is an example of that,
yeah,
for being a villain, but also fitting very well with the Bolts.
Yeah. And in general, just having a useful ability.
Mm-hmm. Then you take us to 3s. Those are your playables. You know, they're there. They're fine. You're happy. You're happy you have them to fill out your team, though you're not necessarily thrilled when you buy them. But they work. Then we have 2 and the 2, 2.5 range. These are cards that are horrible. Well, I don't. Okay, I won't say horrible. These are
they're
cards
situational.
That are. Yeah, they're very situational. They are bad in a lot of situations, but if this is happening, they might be good. So don't write them off completely. If there's a specific synergy you want to exploit, they may well be worth it, but they're not necessarily going to be useful for everything
or
else.
Or if, you know, you're going heavy into one strategy and you're worried about someone using a counter strategy, which is admittedly a little less common in draft.
Well, it could
a
be
little.
Yeah, it could be meta dependent is really what it is. If
then
if
you know
that
they might be apply. They might apply then, but
yeah, something specifically gives hate for X, and you know that everybody in your meta likes to draft X, then you might want to take this card. And then one is just not good. It's unplayable. You really don't want to take it. It's there for collectors only.
At best.
Or if you really like Booster Gold, that's why I have his common.
Yes.
For collectors and fanboys, I suppose. All right. Let's get to it then. We have our very first basic action, which is Anger Issues. I love this art. You have the Red Lanterns going crazy on there. I'm more of a Green Lantern guy myself, but whatever. This is a 4-cost basic action. It reads, target character gets +3 attack and Overcrush this turn. Overcrush, of course, being the keyword in this game for Trample. And it has a global. Pay Fist, target character gets +1 attack until the end of turn. So that's not a new global, but it's a new energy type to put with it. And now we have a more, well, +3 with Overcrush. What do you think, Evan?
I mean, this is, what was it from the Yu-Gi-Oh! Set? Horn of the Unicorn?
I can't remember.
I think that was it. And I believe that was only one, but it was for everything.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And I think it might have been one cheaper to buy. So, I don't know. I sort of like giving all my guys Overcrush because, if that's what it was, I'm not sure if I remember.
You're exactly
right.
No, Horn of the Unicorn was sort of similar to Throne Car. It costs 3. 2 of your monsters get +1/+1. And then on the burst and double burst, damage those monsters. Well, it's Overcrush. And then pay a bolt, target monster gets +1 attack. I compare this a little more to Throne Car, I think, because the Overcrush and the +1/+1 are there regardless of burst.
Right.
But
yeah, that's true. But, yeah, I mean, 3 attack and Overcrush is pretty nice. It is a little more expensive to balance it out, and it only is one target. I seem to remember at least one of the other trample enablers. Let's call them Overrunners, because if there's a card that I remember from Magic, it's Overrun, which gives everything trample.
I don't know. I can't remember myself the direct comparison there. In the set, I think this is pretty good. Giving it Overcrush, which is already a keyword on a few characters, especially with some of the attack numbers that we see, is pretty awesome. And then giving Fist teams that global as well. You know, it was only bolts, and you had to bring the Iceman global to spin to bolts or other things like that. Now Fists get an option here too, and that's pretty good. I think this is solid. I'm going to go around a 3, which is about par for the course. I think it's hard for a basic action to get too much more than a 3, 3.5, but I'm going to go 3.
I mean, there's some, but I think this is a fairly solid basic action. I'm not super crazy about a 4 cost, but, you know, this is usable, and the global is nice.
Right. All right, moving forward, Evan.
Next up is Casualties, which costs 2. Its ability is knockout target sidekick. If you have a double burst, knock out an additional target sidekick if able. It also has a global, pay a fist or bolt, gain 1 life whenever an opposing sidekick is knocked out this turn. Well, I mean, knockout target sidekick is kind of a not very awe-inspiring ability, even for 2. Maybe you'll get 2 of them. I guess it's kind of interesting for the global. I mean, I know you're not a huge fan of life gain, but this is semi-incidental, and you can actually get multiple life if you manage to knock out a bunch of sidekicks. So this could be useful if you really think you're going to need life.
I guess, but for meaningful life gain, I don't know. For me, this would take away out of set for any meaningful amount of life gain. This would just kill my ramp. An inset, well, there's not a ton of ramp. There's some ramp. You have to be more creative with it. Inset, I don't know. I like that it's pay fist or bolt.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you have no other ideas, you're countering a Gabi team, you could, like, take that and one of the various, like, knockout all sidekicks or you know, ping all sidekick cards, and that'll effectively stall out a Gabi team.
Well, yeah.
But it's situational.
It really is, at the, and therefore, two.
Two, yep.
Yep. All right, moving on. Then we have Fist of Fury, a four-cost basic action. Deal one damage to target player. Or burst, deal two damage to target player. Or double burst, deal three damage to deal three damage instead if that player has a villain in play. So basically, on two faces, you're dealing at least two, maybe three damage, and on the other one, you're dealing just one. I don't know. It's like
a
wimpy power bolt.
I'm power bolt, but more expensive and not as good.
Yeah.
Or, heck, I'm magic missile and pretty much strictly worse.
Yeah.
You also can't target characters, so sometimes you do actually want to power bolt a character.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'll be honest, I frequently find myself power bolting the opponent, but sometimes you can do a little better if you get something off the field, or there's something that, there's a nasty boy or something that you want to ping to get rid of him.
Yeah, sometimes dealing that two damage is a little bit of removal. It'll take care of an Ant-Man.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't see why I'd ever take this over either Power Bolt or Magic Missile.
Yeah. In set, I don't love it either because of the cost.
Yeah.
I just think it's a little pricey. I mean, there is a little bit of action price fixing in this set, but it's also on cards that I don't necessarily love either. So,
right.
Yeah, I maybe a one and a... Maybe one and a half.
Yeah, I mean, there's uses for it. It's just not good. And most of the time, you'll use something else.
Right. All right. Go ahead, Evan.
Okay, next up is the four-cost Phantom Zone. You can take any character in the field and place it on this card and move any dice you've placed on this card on a previous turn into its owner's prep area. This effect is canceled where that die's owner takes damage. Return that die to its owner's prep area. Hi, imprisoned.
Yeah,
it's
again,
like imprisoned, but not as good.
Well, I mean, it can take care of a three cost.
Yes.
If you have, let's take a strong card in the meta right now. Wolverine, formerly Weapon 10, which I understand it was on almost every top 8 team at Canadian Nationals, something like that, except for one, in fact, which is our friend of the show, J. Thomas H2, who is there. Randy's friend, John. I think his name is John. Hang on, let me look here.
But
yeah, Joseph. Jeez, I'm sorry, Joe.
Regardless, it's just like, yeah, I mean, yes, you can get a three-cost character, which does have some uses, but you're only getting one die. In prison, you're getting however many, you're sucking up all their zero costs, and then one or two, getting a two or two ones or something.
Yeah, but I need to get something off of the board to help stabilize or get me ahead again, that might be enough just to throw things off of balance to get something out there. Now, I'm not saying I love this card, but I do think it's situational, which again puts
I'll
it to about
to
a
that.
Two. But I see reasons to have this, especially with some higher fielding costs in this set. Outside of the set, is it as useful? No, but again, it depends on what you're seeing with high fielding cost characters.
Yeah.
So, well, the next one is another card whose art I love. We have Sinestro going up against Hal Jordan here, the Green Lantern, Yellow Lantern thing. Pick your battles. Well, they've picked right now, it looks like. Each of your characters can only be blocked by opposing characters of the same energy type, and your sidekicks can only be blocked by sidekicks. So, man, you could really have some fun with this.
No chump blocking.
Yeah, no chump blocking, or you have a couple of energy types. Maybe you've figured out the way to do some crazy offensive mask team. And, nobody has tons of mask characters fielded here and there. Or whatever else. There's plenty of options for this, especially in draft, where you're going to commit just a little bit more to a specific energy type at times. We talked about with the Bolt team. Or perhaps you just want your sidekicks to get through and wreak some havoc. Either way, I think this is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely use for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's always stuff that could get through.
Yeah.
Don't have a bolt? Well, I guess you're taking, 5, 6, 7, 8 plus damage.
Right.
So, yeah. I like it. Where would you...
I'd
this
say
one,
3.5.
3.5 is where I was going.
Yeah.
Yep. Alrighty.
Next up is the 4-cost Righteous Charge. Your attacking characters take a maximum of 2 damage from each blocker. And if you get the double burst face, it's instead a maximum of 1 damage from each blocker. Okay. I guess this is like it's invulnerability without a useful global, and you can still make your guys take damage, which I guess has some uses, but it's still like it's twice the cost and kind of not as good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see the point. I mean, this is a 1.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd take this over invincibility unless you were doing something really weird with, like, Nova or something.
Well, again, in thinking draft where you may be just... different places do it differently, right. But it's entirely possible you're limited to just this set. I still don't love it. This is a case where we'd have to see how it plays in set, and that's a tougher part of evaluating the basic actions.
If you want to use the common Black Manta, you want him taking damage, but not lethal damage? But
maybe.
It's still really expensive for what it does. I agree with a 1.
Yeah. All right, next up is Save Civilians. We have a cool picture of Wonder Woman carrying a baby. This is a 3-cost action. Whenever you field a sidekick this turn, reduce the fielding cost of another die by 1, draw a die from your bag and put it in the prep area. So basically, if you get a sidekick on the sidekick face and you get this on the action face, and you field that sidekick, then you get to field something else for cheaper, and then you also get to prep a die.
Yeah, this is...
It's neat.
It's a neat concept, but I think it might be hard to apply in practice.
Yeah, because what do you need for this to go right? Especially, let's look just in set, where you're going to be able to roll more than 4 dice a turn, but you're not going to roll the plethora of dice that you're rolling with Uncanny X-Men. So again, I'm playing draft here. So I need to have a sidekick, this on the basic action face, and a character with a fielding cost of at least 1. For this to really be worth it. Now, maybe this lets me play something that I couldn't have otherwise played, but at the same time, let's take the prepping a die out of it. Unless the fielding cost is at least 2, unless the fielding cost is more than 2, rather, I would probably do just as well having this as energy.
Right.
And fielding it with that 2 energy.
Right.
And
then having that sidekick is energy, too.
And prepping a die is fine, but, like, what do you... I don't know. I like it in theory.
It's interesting in theory. I just think it requires too much luck, and you have to buy this die, and you have to get it when you need it, and...
Yeah.
I'm saying 1.5. It might have a use at some point, but... I think it requires too many things to happen to be worthwhile.
Yeah, it requires a lot of things to happen, but also does a lot for you. I'm gonna give it a 2, give it the benefit of the doubt for now, but I'm not wowed by it. I mean, I'm wowed by what it could do, but I'm not wowed by how it looks.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool.
Okay, next up is the 5-cost Shockwave. Knock out all level 1 characters. If you get a burst face, 1 or 2 bursts, also deal 3 damage to an opposing player. Also, as a global, pay 1, target level 1 character is unaffected by action dice this turn. This is potentially kind of interesting, but 5 cost is a lot for that.
And it only gets level 1 characters. The 3 damage is
neat.
Yeah, it's a nice add-on, but the meat of the card, what it does is it knocks out level 1s.
Yeah.
And that's just... not a lot of guarantee there.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you'd want to take this with, like, a Tsarina team, that you're constantly making your opponent's characters roll down, then you shockwave them away, but...
Well, you know, see, here's the thing with Tsarina, is that a big reason that you saw Green Goliath at Nationals was because Tsarina, okay, yeah, I'll take that 2 damage, and then I'll wipe out your whole board.
Right.
So there are lots of ways of dealing with that. You also saw Genetic Expert make appearances.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm saying, so, I'm thinking of potential uses for it. I'm not saying they're going to be uses.
I feel that Tsarina's usefulness is on the wane, as much as the card is still very, very good. Especially early on, she can rush at you. But once you get that Hulk, you stabilize.
I think
it just, if it was like on the double burst, instead of dealing 3 damage, it could also KO level 2 characters, right, then we'd be talking. But this
is a lot, or it could just cost less.
Perhaps. I still feel like level 1 is a niche, because you need everything to be fielded on a specific phase. It's just like trying to roll a sidekick. You know, it just,
right.
I don't know.
No, I agree with that as well.
Actually, that said, in a polymorph world, where you're fielding things at level 1 from your, when you're not exactly fielding things at level 1 from your used pile, perhaps, because this is a way of dealing with things that were polymorphed out, but it's pretty expensive for removal.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, so. I'm going to give this a 2. I think there's potential for it, but it's situational and not so great.
I'm going 1.5. It just costs too much.
That's fair enough.
Yep. All right. Villainous Pact. This one will see some play. For one, we have the awesome artwork here of the Legion of Doom with Lex Luthor at the center, everybody looking menacing. This is 4 cost. Your opponent chooses 1 non-villain character. All other non-villains cannot block this turn. That's fine. Global, pay mask. Once per turn, during your turn, if you have no dice in your prep area, you may draw a die and place it in your prep area. All right, sold. That's it. We need that little extra bit of ramp. It might only work once per turn if your prep area is clear. And it doesn't even matter if there are 2 copies of this, one that you brought and one your opponent has, because your prep area must be clear for this to work. But I don't care. It gives me an extra shot to roll some dice, and I'm thrilled with that. Plus, how about these... let's look at the ability itself. 1 non-villain character. All other non-villains cannot block this turn. So if you're villains... you don't have to worry about this being used on you. If your opponent has a lot of non-villains, your opponent's playing Justice League especially, this could be a pretty interesting bet.
Yeah. I think this is definitely a usable card.
Absolutely. This could allow you to swing through for some pretty beefy damage.
Yep.
This would be the exception to the rule. I got to give this one a 4.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's I wouldn't necessarily take it every time. Or maybe I would with that global. I think Resurrection is a superior global, but if I was playing Masks, I might want this instead.
Resurrection is absolutely a better global,
right,
in the sense that, you know, you're not limited to if there's not already a die in your prep area. But
right,
this is still good. You just have to consider your order of operations.
Yeah, no, but I think I'll agree with that 4.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that's the basic actions. Let's move on. We have rares. Evan, are you to, you have Aquaman pulled up, or shall I go?
Yes, I do.
Excellent. Go ahead.
Okay. Aquaman Orin is a 3-shield Justice League character. He is a total fielding cost of 1, and 2, 3, 3, 4, 4, 5. His ability is, when Aquaman blocks, you may move a different Justice League character from the used pile to your prep area. And he also has retaliation. If an affiliated character is knocked out, deal 1 damage to an opposing player. I like this guy. I agree. I think the big problem with him is, like, you're giving up that purchase cost drop.
The one from
the common.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Well, the difficult thing with any of the Aquamans is that the other 2 Aquamans exist. They're all pretty interesting, and they're all abilities I'd like to have.
Yeah. I mean, that said, retaliation's really nice.
Boy, it really is. That's hard to say. So, costing 1 less to buy versus plus 1, which is not quite as good.
And it means when you're, like, if you just have Aquaman sort of, like, block and do safe blocks, and you have your other guys do more risky blocks, you're constantly pinging your opponent, and then when he blocks, you can just bring them right back.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, with dice moving a little bit slower. Yeah, I really like this one. This is another, you know, direction setter card along with the common here. It's just a hard choice to make. Which one do you want? You're going to have to look and see how your draft goes, and that's going to determine what you want. If you have enough, go ahead.
I've actually used this this character or this card, and I will say it's kind of hard sometimes to get his ability to line up correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Because half the time it'll be, you know, oh, a character gets knocked out, and then you refill your bag and he's gone. So it can be
tough.
A little difficult to line that up, but it's really nice when you do get it to happen.
Yeah, well, and again, this is also then the card where you'd have to look at the average case scenario. But yeah. I really like this one. I'm going to go 4.
Yeah, I think he's definitely very usable.
All right. Adam, the science advisor. Total fielding cost of 3. Stats go 1-1, 3-3, 5-5. Adam cannot be blocked when he is level 1. If you attack with 3 or more characters, he cannot be blocked at level 1 or 2.
Yeah, I mean, I guess...
If I attack with a whole bunch of stuff, he will... If I attack with less than 3, he gets 1 through, and he costs me 4 to do it. If I attack with more than 3, or 3 or more, he gets 3 through.
Well, he does count for it, so you just need to bring two
including
other
characters. Yeah, well, still, though, I mean, that's not... That's not damage. It's just going to close the door.
Yeah, I mean... I think he's just too much energy for it. If he was a 3, I'd consider it. I mean, if you think about it, look at what Sturge would do. And if you're questionably comparing to the Epic Sturge, you're probably not a good card.
All right. Well, that's fair. That says it all. Yeah, this is a 1. I just don't see...
Yeah.
I don't want him over other things. There's nothing that makes me want to use this. So... All right. Next up. Wow.
Okay. Next up, we have Batarang from Wayne Enterprises. It is a 5-fist action die, and it lets you deal 1 damage to a villain, then 2 damage to another villain, and continue selecting villains, increasing the damage by 1 until all villains have been selected. Yep. It's like Cold of Cold, but more so, and it only hurts villains. Note that it doesn't say your opponent's villains, so it will also knock out your own villains, for better or worse. I guess if you want to set up some hellacious nasty boy action, this is an option. But yeah, I can see much better ways of doing that.
This is another one that I find to be fun, but just not practical. I think it's like a 1.5. I think this is fantastic. I just think it's completely impractical.
Just flying around the room, batting people in the face.
Sure, why not? Because why not? Right.
No, it's neat, but it's impractical.
Exactly. Alrighty, next up we have the rare Black Canary, Canary Cry. She is a total fielding cost of 1 from the Justice Society. Her stats go 2-2, 3-2, and 4-4. When fielded, you may roll an opposing character. If it's a character face, return it to the field. If it's an energy face, add it to your opponent's prep area. Well, that's pretty cool. I guess you force it to the prep area, so you might as well say knock it out, but... On the other hand, I guess that bypasses any when KO'd effects, so that's fine.
I mean, it's like a less good Storm.
Well, yeah.
It's more expensive, and I mean, it's a fist, which.
Well, it depends on what Storm we're talking about. I mean, if we're talking
the 3-cost Storm.
Well, yeah, it's
which is doing basically the same thing.
That's true, and now she's
and
also harder
to
knock
use,
out,
I believe.
Yeah. I thought it was only Windrider that put it to use, but I could be wrong. I may well be wrong. But nonetheless, I think this is fine. The problem with the when fielded abilities are that you want to tend to be able to cycle them through, so you want to try and get her knocked out and do it again, and knock her out and do it again. And Storm worked very well for that because her defensive stats weren't very high.
Right.
But she goes 2-2-4, and that might be a little tougher. She's fine. She's playable.
Yeah.
She's a 3.
She's a possible, like, you know, she's a removal option, which is always nice to have in a draft. But I think the fact that she's rare and that she's, you know, a little expensive for what she does and a little hard to bounce.
I
agree. Say a 3.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree with you.
Okay. Next up, we have Black Manta Artificial Gills, a 3-fist character. He is a TFC 3 with 1s across the board, 1, 3, 2, 4, 3, 5, and still a Legion of Doom villain. His ability is that Black Manta gets +1 attack and defense for each other active villain, which, you know, that compares with Raven Darkholm Mystique, the uncommon Mystique from UXM. I think that's a fair call. You know, it's about the right cost. You know, it's the same cost there, so I think that's about right. it requires, you know, it requires a little work to use him, just like she did, but it's a nice addition to a villain team. On the other hand, Black Manta is an amazing character in his other faces for a villain team, so I don't know why you'd use this over the other ones, unless you somehow didn't get one of them.
Yeah, that's exactly it for me, and in that sense, it makes it... Maybe if it was not Black Manta, if it was somebody else that didn't have to go up against other abilities, I'd rate it a little bit higher, as it is probably a 3.
Yeah, like that's the Uncommon Katana, I think, is basically, well, you don't get defense, but that's sort of what it is. So
exactly.
Use her instead.
Yep. All right, next up, Blue Beetle, high school hero. I love the Blue Beetle. So anyway, Blue Beetle, high school hero. By the way, when you see this die is pretty awesome. The blue is really just a really cool shade on this. So Blue Beetle is a total fielding cost 2. His stats go 3-1, 4-1, and a big jump in defense to 4-4. Blue Beetle may block up to 2 villains. So that's fine. And for 3 bolt, those stats are about par for the course, right?
Yeah, I think that's decent.
And blocking extra villains? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's decent stats. It's kind of useful ability. I wish he had an affiliation. If he was a Justice League character, he would be amazing.
Yeah.
He would be flat out amazing if he was a Justice League character.
And here's another case where this guy was Justice League International. Well, Ted Kord was, and in later iterations, we did see Blue Beetle pop up, the current Jaime Reyes. But, what are you going to do? All right, I'm co-opting. Oh, wait, sorry, we need to give a rating. I was too excited for Booster Gold being next. This is a 3.
Yeah, solid
again,
3.
It's playable. It does its job. It's nothing exciting. Co-opting you, Booster Gold. I have to. Booster Gold, high publicity hijinks, a 4 mask character. Total fielding cost of 4. Stats go 3-3, 4-4, and 5-4. While Booster Gold is active, you may move Booster Gold to your prep area to reduce the cost of a non-villain character by 1. This is what I call banking energy. As long as you didn't have him on his third face, this is banking energy. And even if you did have him on his level 3, where he's a total fielding cost of 2, you get to re-roll him, and either you field him and have another character who can do stuff, right? Because 4-4 and 5-4, those are fine for a 4-cost character. You have a character you can get out there and do stuff, and you got the discount on the die. So, or perhaps he rolls energy and helps you in another area. I think this is fine. Again, it's an energy bank, and that's how you have to look at it. There are concepts similar to this. I feel like if you've played Netrunner, this one is a little bit more familiar a concept, the idea of banking energy. But yeah, so I really like this one for the utility that it provides.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's... I'm a little cautious because he is on the expensive side to field, and that can make it, you know, not the most efficient bank, but it's there if you need it. And his stats aren't terrible for his cost.
Even at its worst, you get to re-roll him, so he may come up with that double mask energy, which can feed other things, or who knows what else. I think it's a neat utility. I wish I could give him higher than... a 3.5, but I think that's where he lives.
Yeah, I'm going to say 3.5. There's use for him regardless of what team you're on.
Yeah, it's...
Well, less so if you're on a villain, if you're making a villain team.
It's probably the best of his 3, though the uncommon isn't bad, and there are certainly situations where you would want to add him to your role, but I think it's probably the best of his 3 forms, and it is utility. I think you will find some interesting uses for this one.
Okay.
All right, it's finally your turn again, Evan. I'll let you go.
Okay. We have Brainiac, 12th level intelligence, a 5 mask character, total fielding cost of 6, 2-4, 3-5, 4-7, also a Legion of Doom villain. I seem to get all the villains. While Brainiac is active, after blockers are declared, you may switch to opposing blockers. I really like this ability. He's kind of expensive, and it may not really help you that much, but it's interesting control...
You probably want this with Overcrush.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely do some shenanigans with Overcrush. You could also just make sure some characters like the common Black Manta or others, you can make sure their abilities get triggered to your advantage.
That's true, too. Oh, I don't want to knock this out because it's a villain. Oh, well, hey, haha, now you did.
Right. Yeah, or if you just, there's something you really want to get knocked out so you can roll against that turn, you can use this to do so.
I think it's nifty, but again, with the cost of Brainiac, I'm not 100% sure. I think this is another one of those, oh, I really like this, if, and that puts it at a 2 for me.
Yeah, I think he's a decent, like, high-end filler for a villain team, but yeah, 2, mm-hmm. 2.5 maybe.
All right, so next we have Captain Cold, the master of Absolute Zero, because apparently complete entropy is something that you can master. He is a 5-bolt character, a member of the Legion of Doom, a villain, in fact. His total fielding cost is 6. His stats go 3, 3, 4, 4, and 6, 5. When fielded, deal 1 damage to all sidekicks. So it blocks. It gets rid of your opponent's sidekicks. It also gets rid of your sidekicks.
I guess it could be useful if you're using that. What was it? Casualties basic action for its global.
Oh, yeah. Then you got to pay that many bolts to make this happen.
Well, no. You only have to pay the 1. Because it's
one each, per sidekick, though.
No, I think it's one, and then it's whenever it happens for the rest of the turn.
No, I think it's the next. Oh, well, no, it is whenever an opposing sidekick is KO'd this turn. Okay, well, then I...
That's a little more reasonable.
That is a little more reasonable. I guess I misread that or just assumed based on past abilities. Don't assume, kids. Don't do it.
However, you're still paying 5 for Captain Cold, and you're still paying his enormous fielding costs for useful if... You know, there's a lot of characters who do the same thing, but cheaper.
I guess maybe if I have Stargirl, where I'm buffing my sidekicks, I can do this, because this could help clear the way if there are walls of sidekicks in draft. It's not uncommon to do that to get things out of circulation. But this is, I don't see including this. I guess Stargirl, she's a common that does that, but
he's highly situational.
Yeah.
And I think because if he was a highly situational uncommon, I'd give him a 2. As a rare, I think it's a 1.5.
I think situational is situational. He stays at 2 for me.
Okay.
I just don't see. I mean, you know, rare is rare.
That's fair.
But I don't distinguish usefulness by rarity.
Okay.
That's just me.
Okay. Next up, we have Catwoman Femme Fatale, a 4-fist character with a total fielding cost of 3, 0, 1, 2. She's 2, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3. She's a villain, and when she is fielded, you may choose to roll this die. If it is a character face, knock out a target opposing character and leave Catwoman in play on the rolled face. If you roll an energy face, add Catwoman to your prep area. That's interesting. It's interesting in the ability that, yeah, okay, sure, it's a, maybe you can roll her up a bit, maybe you can roll her down a bit, and you can knock out a character doing that, but it's still a 50-50 chance. It's Storm, but if you mess it up, then Catwoman gets knocked out.
Right, but at least she goes right to your prep and you can do it again. It's fairly inexpensive removal, but it's not guaranteed removal. So what guaranteed removal do we have? We have Psylocke, Gwen, and the Assassin. She does it for 2 masks when she's fielded. So in this case, the most you're going to pay for this is 2 of anything, and she does it. I think it's...
She also costs 4 to buy, where Gwen
costs
2.
It is just 2. But I don't know. I like the idea of it. I don't know how it works. I'm going to go 2.5, and I'm going to say that that's going to go up or down a half a point as we get to play with it.
Yeah, I feel that's kind of about right.
Cool. All right. Next up, we have Cheetah, Dr. Barbara Ann Minerva. She's a 3-bolt Legion of Doom villain. Total fielding cost of 2. Stats go 2, 2, 3, 3, and 3, 4. When assigning damage in the attack step, Cheetah assigns and resolves her damage before opposing characters. This is, as we know from Magic the Gathering, if you've played that, this is First Strike. This is also what Hawkeye has rare,
He's
I think,
rare.
Robin
yeah.
Hood in the Avengers vs. X-Men set had. I gotta say, I never was in a situation where I really loved having the ability with Hawkeye. I can't imagine being in a situation where I love having it here.
And she's even weaker an attacker than he was. I mean, not that he was a decent attacker.
I think it was like 3, 4, 5 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And she's like 3. She tops out at 3, so it's like kind of why bother, especially not with the very, very good common available.
Yeah.
And this is a rare I'd pick up because, hey, a rare, and I get another cheetah die.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
It's usable, but nothing amazing. I'd say...
Yeah, it's a 3.
Yeah. I might even bump it down a little just because you're probably using the common instead.
Right. All right. Next up, we have Constantine, Con Artist.
I thought we did this in the last one. They're saying it's an uncommon.
I believe we skipped the uncommons because they were actually different
rares?
Things. I can't remember if we did this one now in the last one or not. We're going to do it here anyway because we can. But if you look at the... Yeah, so folks, if you don't know, there's some kind of a numbering or some other issue within the set for the cards that are in the super rare class. And some things are listed on the thing as commons but are actually uncommons. Some of them, in this case, the second form of Constantine is listed as a rare, but... On the card, but the card shows an uncommon. I honestly can't remember if we did it last time or not, so I'm going to talk about it real quick here. What's up?
Nothing.
Okay, sorry, you were typing like a madman.
No, I'm someone's bothering me again.
Okay.
I'm just replying them quickly.
All right. So, Constantine Con Artist is either an uncommon or a rare. I'm going to go with rare for now, even though it shows uncommon. Or maybe they stacked with them on purpose, but there were some numbering issues, and you'll see that when you get it. So, this is a total fielding cost 2. His stats go 2, 2, 2, 3, and 3, 3. While Constantine is active, you may name a character before you draw. If you draw and roll that character this turn, you may field it for free. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm almost positive we did not do this before.
Okay.
Yeah, this is pretty cool, especially, well, okay, I guess my problem is that you have to know that you're drawing it. Now, you can know what's coming from your bag, but that also means that it can't be chilling in your prep area or something like that. So you have to know that you're drawing it, and in a set with fielding costs that are pretty high, this is useful. He's not that inexpensive, or excuse me, he's not that expensive either to use. Total fielding
right.
cost 2 and 2 shield. I like this a lot. I see some utility. It's not perfect.
It's not amazing. It's not, you know, the bestest ability ever, but it's probably going to be pretty useful.
Yes, and if I see that, oh, geez, I have some expensive Justice League characters, then this is a card that I'm going to draft. Or if that's my plan, if that's what I like to do in a draft, then I'm going to take this guy fairly early. Or I'll take him early and know that I can get him with some of those more expensive characters, too. So I don't think
and
he
worst
sets
case,
my...
Yeah, and worst case, he's a 2-drop.
Yep, exactly. So I don't think he sets my direction, but I think he's pretty darn good, in which case I put him at a 4.5.
Yeah, no, he fits on just about any team.
Yep. All right.
Okay, next up we have Cyborg Mentor, a 4-fist character. He is a TFC 4 character, 4-2-5-3-6-4. He is a Justice League character. When Cyborg attacks, deal 1 damage to an opposing player if you have fewer fielded characters than the opponent. I'll be honest, I'm not... the ability isn't bad. I'm a little hesitant to say, well, I have less characters, so I should attack, because then my opponent's like, okay, I'll knock out your Cyborg, who is more balanced towards offense than defense. And now you only have, even less characters, and I roll through.
Yeah, it's a little situational. If it was just when he attacks he does this, then he'd be in more in line with, like, the Pyros and the Cheetahs and the Hawkmans of the world.
Yeah.
But in this case, I don't know. I guess if you're doing a Justice League team and you want abilities like this that do a little bit of direct damage, okay. And his stats aren't bad.
No, they're not. He is a good buy for his price.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think I'd probably put him as playable. I think he's just...
He's a 3.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go with that. I'm with you. All right. Deadman, Embracing Life. A dichotomy. He is a 5 shield character. His total fielding cost is 5. His stats go 2-4, 2-5, and 3-6. When Deadman is knocked out, you may roll another character die that was knocked out this turn. If you roll a character face, field it for free. Okay. So his with defensive stats like that, there are few situations that I'm going to easily get him KO. I just think this is another one of those stars and the sun and the moon. If I have a definite way of knocking him out, then maybe.
Blue Eyes White Dragon.
Well, sure, but again, if we're thinking draft.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying in other scenarios, there are tools for using him.
Oh, well, yes, but I'm also hesitant to Blue Eyes. Like, the other character die that was KO this turn would have to be super worth it for me
to knock him out something. To get a 50-50 chance of getting
something
back.
With a TFC 5. Yeah. Eh.
Yeah, no, he's...
1.5 for me.
I think that's about right. I was almost going to go for a 2.
When you're asking a card that... When you're asking for too many things to happen, you can't... Yeah, no.
I don't know if you heard that, but my cat meowed at me.
Well, I think the cat was agreeing with our rating.
Yes, he does.
There you go. Let's pause from the review, because I'm sure now that we've mentioned a cat and this being the internet, what is your cat's name?
His name is Phineas.
Phineas. Oh, that's a good name for a cat. All right. I like it. All right. Well, speaking of things that we like, let's talk about Firestorm.
Okay. Firestorm's rare is Firestorm Mattermaster, a 4-bolt character. He is a TFC 4 and is 3/5, 4/6, 5/6. He is a Justice League character still. When Firestorm is dealt damage, deal an equal amount of damage to target character. That's not bad. It's unfortunate you can't target your opponent, but I suppose if he could target your opponent too, he would be amazing for a 4-cross character.
Oh yeah, you know, there's this awesome card in Magic I've been messing with on a modern deck in Magic Online. So the combo works like this. You have these two cards that are... I can't remember the name for it, but it's where the mana cost is either red or white. It's whatever. So whenever damage is dealt to them, they deal that much damage to target creature or player. And then there's another card in the thing that I can't remember what it's called that does like 13 damage to all creatures. And it's expensive, but it costs less the more creatures that are on the board. So you have two of those guys out, at least. You cast that, and everybody's done. Even if you just have one of them after you've done some other direct damage, again, everybody's done, and it's incredibly fun. If you could do damage to the player, this would be a 5, because there are so many interesting ways of getting damage done to your characters. But because it's only to another target character, I have to... It takes him down quite a lot. 3.
Future Dave here. My wish has been granted. Check out the super rare Jocasta from Age of Ultron. You can see the spoilers at thereservepool.com. All right, let's go back in.
Okay, next up we have Flash, the Flash Speedster. He is a 4-fist character, TFC 5, 3/3, 4/4, 5/5. He's a Justice League character. If you played a basic action this turn, the Flash is unblockable while attacking alone. On a Tuesday... in a dumpster, nothing but net. This is usable. It's just, I don't understand why there's 2 requirements on making him unblockable. There's a lot of other characters who have, like, 1 at best. And even so, he's expensive to field, and his stats aren't the best.
Well, let me say this, though. Let's say my basic action is Anger Issues. And now I don't care about the overcrush, but I just gave him +3. And now I have where I can pump him up with fists.
However, you could also have just fielded Knucklehead. Or bought and used Knucklehead, who wouldn't have to care about a basic action and would get the same, and could potentially get the same 8 damage through.
Potentially could, yeah. I mean, that's fine, but Knucklehead also costs 6 and has a slightly higher fielding cost. Whereas, with Flash being Justice League, there's stuff that can be done for him. What you got to remember is that we have tribal stuff here that's really positively impacting Flash, whereas there isn't a lot of tribal X-Men stuff that really helps Wolverine Knucklehead. I don't hate this one. I think it's a little better than you're indicating. I would actually put it around a 4.
I think you're right. I was going to say like a 2 beforehand. It's a little too to nickel and dime me. I'd put it at a 3 now. I don't think it's... 4 makes it sound like you could fit it on a lot of teams. I just really don't think
so. I sure could, because draft being a slightly slower format, I need something that's going to get through walls. And if an anger issues is not an expensive buy, if I have something like Aquaman to help me here, this just makes Flash all the more affordable. And other Justice League characters are going to be able to hold down the fort for me because they have decent stats. So...
Okay, you've convinced me.
I love it. I feel like there's too many things there that that it does positively. That's me. And then imagine in Constructed too, where with Wonder Woman making other Justice League characters cost one less to field. So you could have in a Constructed thing in the set or even outside of the set, you could have Aquaman and Wonder Woman working for you pretty well. And their stats aren't amazing there, but they're characters who can block and take a little punishment. So, yeah. Haha, I have convinced you.
Yes. I think it's like a 3.5. It's still a very usable ability. I think his main problem is, like Black Manta, the other two versions of him are really good.
Yeah, well, that's fair. Yeah, okay, 3.5. Perhaps. I'm still leaning a little more towards 3, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to go 3, I'd say it's 3.5 on, like, usability, and 3 based on the fact that you're not going to actually use it because the other ones are better.
Okay, fair enough. All right, moving on to my boy the Green Lantern, Brightest Day. 6 mask character, total fielding cost of 3. He is the 1-1-1 variety there. His stats go 4-2, 5-3, and 6-5. And of course, he's a member of the Justice League. When Green Lantern attacks, deal 1 damage to the defending player for each different Justice League character that attacks. And then retaliation, if it, of course, we know what that does. If affiliated characters knocked out, blah, blah, blah. So, Justice League retaliation, which is cool. And we have this thing that does damage for other... So this is solidly... If you have him, you are solidly doing a Justice League team. Like, if I have this and... I'm definitely looking for Common Aquaman, or if I have Common Aquaman, I'm looking for something like this.
Or you could take the rare Aquaman, not that you'd probably draw both on a draft, but, if you bring him and the uncommon Cyborg, now you have 3 retaliation characters. Your opponents don't want to knock out your characters anymore.
True. If I have something like this in one pack and Aquaman in the other, I know exactly what I'm doing. If I have Aquaman and this in the same pack, in the same stack to go around in the draft... Oh, boy, I'm hesitating because I don't think... I would take this because it's rare and people probably go this. Like, if I know I want to do Justice League, I'm not saying that I would first pick this.
Right.
But if I know I want to do Justice League, I would take this because it's rare. But I don't think if you let this go...
It's Green Lantern.
Yeah, I don't think if you let this go that either one will actually wheel and come back to you.
Yeah. No, they're too easy.
Yeah, unfortunately. I like this card. I think he's only good if you're doing Justice League, so that would... I mean, if it was by definition, I'd say he's a 2, but there's so much Justice League in this set that's a 3.
He's an enabler for a playstyle.
Well, maybe I'll even go to 3.5. He's an enabler, but he's not one I'm taking without some fixing.
That's true.
Which I may or may not get.
I agree with 3.5. Yeah. Moving on, we have Harley Quinn, Psychopathic Psychiatrist, who is a 4-mask villain at TFC 3012. She's 1-3 with a burst face, 3-3, 5-3. When fielded, each player knocks out a sidekick they control. While Harley Quinn is active, the first time one of your sidekicks is knocked out during your turn, target opponent loses 1 life. She's, this is usable. It's a little... knocking out a sidekick they control is... There's use to that. I mean, this is another one that might work with casualties.
I guess.
I guess if you were forced to.
I still don't... I'm still not a huge fan there, but I guess I see... I guess I'm seeing more where casualties could make life gain a thing if you had some serious sidekick stuff, shenanigans, as we might say, going on. And I like the idea of one of your sidekicks being KO'd, target opponent loses 1 life, but that's just on one face. I would need to have some way of spinning down if I'm going to use her for that.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by that one especially, but it's awfully... it's a little specific.
It requires a little doing, and I think it might be a little too fiddly to really find a good place.
Well, I think she's playable, though. I mean, her stats are fine, and I mean, she does stuff. So that's fine too. I mean, clearing out your sidekick, you might not have cared, and their sidekick, that's one less blocker that maybe lets you get through. Maybe that was their only blocker.
Right.
Who the heck knows? But there are options. She's a three.
I think she's a three. Yeah.
All right, in stereo even. All right. Hawkman, Carter Hall is a 4-bolt Justice Society member. Total fielding cost of 2. Stats go 2-2, 3-3, and 3-4. Whenever Hawkman is blocked, add a die from your bag to your prep area. Now, this is actually really intriguing to me because we saw with Beast where people would force attacks. So Beast Mutate 666 way back on AVX, way back a year ago.
Right.
We're actually right on the 1 year anniversary of Dice Masters being released. And in fact, on the 30th, when this show goes out, that was 1 year, I think, just about for our first blog post ever. So
indeed. This
is birthday week for Dice Masters and for us. So that's woohoo, go us. In any case, can there be something just as interesting here where attacking into Hawkman helps set up your churn? Maybe. The problem is that Beast, you force your opponent to do things on their turn and made their turn go the way you didn't want to go. With this, if you would want to do something like that, you kind of have to mess around with your turn. So if that's in your plan, okay. But I'm not sure how I feel about it. I feel like there's something exploitable here.
It's harder to make your guys be forced to be blocked.
Though those abilities do exist.
Yeah, but they're not quite as common, I feel like.
Well, all you need is one global.
Uh-huh.
I believe there is a target character must block this turn.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously now that gets out of the DC set. I'm intrigued.
Right.
I feel like it could be exploited, but I'm hesitant. I think you would...
Yeah, but I think you're right on the point that it's, you know, it's sort of more of like your choice. Mm-hmm. Here, a lot. I mean, especially if you're not doing that, your opponent may just not bother blocking him. He doesn't do a lot of damage.
Well, he could. Three is not a small amount of damage, and you know, you get three through enough times in draft,
right,
good.
It's true.
So, I mean,
but they might consider it. I've definitely had opponents not bother blocking the uncommon Hawkman because it's, well, 2 damage or 1 damage. I'll just take the 2 and block something else.
Fair enough.
Lost the game that way. It was very sad. But I will say, I did actually get both this and the uncommon, and wound up going with the uncommon, mostly because the rare is a 4-cost. And much as I like the idea of drawing additional dice, I wanted to have cheaper characters because those are... I feel like it's a little more important to get at, you know, to work around the cheaper costs.
Yeah, fair enough.
And the paper-cutting damage.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I just think that what Hawkman is going to take is some time. I think there is something that there's a potential for something to be done here. If not right now, then as more sets come out. But I don't know. The jury's still out. He's fine. He's not as good as his other.
I think he's
form.
A 3 at least.
Yeah, I would say 3.
Yeah, maybe more. Keep an eye on him.
Next up, we have the Joker, a 5-shield character. This is Red Hood. Total fielding cost is 4. Stats go 1, 4, 2, 5, 3, 6. He's a villain, obviously. While the Joker is active, if you damage an opposing character, deal an equal amount of damage to each character that shares an affiliation with the damaged character. That's kind of fun. That's really actually... That sounds, like, thematically, that's pretty much the Joker. I'm just gonna, like, make you all have pain. I'm gonna hurt you.
Yeah, I mean... This is kind of a sideboardy ability. He is the anti-tribe.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wish we had a sideboard.
The only thing I have to say is his attacking stats are bizarrely not very good.
You know, but it's any... Well, if you damage an opposing character, it doesn't say how you have to do it.
It doesn't have to be the Joker.
No, it does not.
I read it as when the Joker does the damage. So yes, okay, that makes it a lot better.
I don't think that this. I think this card is great fun. I think people who love to play thematic things and stuff like that will have a blast with this one. I don't know that it does much more than that. I think it's playable. I don't think it's as good as this other form.
Yeah, the and uncommon. It won't work on Franken teams.
Right. So, all right.
But yeah, I guess for a rating wise, it's a 2.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about fair.
But it's a fun 2, and that's what counts.
Yep. All right, Evan, I believe you are up.
Okay, we have Vibe, formerly Hardline. He is a 4-bolt character, TFC of 6, 3/3/5/5/7/7. While Vibe is active, whenever an opposing character spins up or down, Vibe deals 2 damage to that character. There's not tons and tons of spinning up and down. I feel like it's more of like your own characters now. I know we're saying the Age of Sarina is, you know, over, but if I'm thinking of spinning up my opposing character, spinning down opposing characters, Sarina is what immediately comes to mind, and that's kind of scary.
I wouldn't say the age is over. She's still very good, but you have to be ready.
But it's starting to peter down.
Well, no, you're not wrong, because while we did see her at Nationals, we generally saw her used as a peripheral character. Hey, I need a 2-cost. She's pretty good. For a lot of the ways that she was used, you might as well have just had, like, Falcon in there. But anyway,
right.
Yeah. And spinning is an important mechanism in this game, or at least it should be getting more important. I don't know. If Shazam was going to be key, then this would shut down Shazam if you thought that I was going to do something with
the
that.
The Vibe, the anti-Shazam.
Like, we needed
planning
that.
Planning for things no one will ever use.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I think it's potentially useful. I'm just not sure how yet.
Right.
I'm going to give it a 2.5.
I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay, next up is Katana Soultaker Sword, a 3-shield character. Total fielding costs 3, 1 on each face. 3/1/3/3/4/3. Katana may block any number of sidekicks. She's not a good blocker. People aren't usually attacking with tons of sidekicks unless they're going to win the game with them.
People aren't attacking with sidekicks unless they're playing Flying Sidekick, in which case they're unblockable anyway.
Right. So it's like, I don't know why you'd use this, especially not over one of the better, smaller ones.
I mean,
pardon me for a second. My cat has jumped on my desk and is running around.
Sounds like something that cats do.
Yes, he's getting rambunctious.
So I would say that maybe if you see sidekick things happening, we do have Stargirl who buffs them. Maybe something more focused comes to light here, but I don't love it.
It's a 2 at
best. I think it's 1.5. I don't see what the situation is that I want her. Ring of Flight. For each character you have in excess of your... Oh, sorry. All right. So now we have the Lantern Power Ring Flight. This is a 5-mask non-basic action. For each character you have in excess of your opponent, add 1 die to your prep area from your bag. Like swarmy aggro-y kind of teams love this. That's kind of cool, but
it's really expensive for what it does.
It kind of is. I mean, I guess it's going to give you masks. I guess if you're outside of the DC set and you're going to do some stuff to make it cost less, I suppose. But I guess
you can get it for 2 with the Red Dragon or 1,000. Well, we have Thousand-Year Dragon or various
Blue
other
eyes.
Things.
Or other
or
dragons.
Or 2 less, rather, yeah.
I don't know. I'm hesitant to say anything strong about this one way or another. I look at it and I think, okay, cool. But it's I feel like this one should inspire something. But
it's a little hard to use.
Okay, I guess I just stated one, but I feel like that's a long shot.
Yeah, and especially it's a long shot to count on a rare
sure.
for.
All right, Lex Luthor, Billionaire Industrialist, 5-shield. He is a 2 total fielding cost. Legion of Doom villain. His stats go 1-4, 1-5, and 2-6. When fielded, choose an opponent's character card, canceling all previous choices. Your opponent cannot purchase that die while Lex Luthor is active. Okay, I love the concept here, but he's too expensive for it, because probably by the time I get him out and on the field, you've already purchased that die I want to stop you from purchasing. So I don't love it. I love the concept.
Yeah, I mean, he's potentially nice. I mean, if your opponent is not counting on winning with their, like, their 4-drop or something, you might be able to rush him on your second turn and, you know, put him out, and then your opponent can't buy that big guy they were counting on using winning. I think in draft, this is better, because people are much less likely to, you know, just jump right to their winner.
Yeah, but I'd almost rather get... I mean, he...
But then you have a harder time getting him out,
too. He can
too.
Block then, and that's fine, too. But he doesn't... He might stop something big on your side, but he also doesn't help me win. I need to be convinced that this isn't a lose-less card by the time you get him going. Now, in Constructed, in full set, mixed set, maybe, because you can use Blue Eyes once or twice and actually legitimately purchase him pretty early going. But as it stands, eh. I'm torn.
I don't think he's bad. I'd say he's at least a 3, maybe a 3.5.
I want to give him a 4, and if he cost 4, maybe I would, but then maybe he'd be overpowered. And I guess that's the hard line.
Yeah, I think if he cost 4, he'd be amazing. He'd be probably, I don't want to say better than Loki or Joker, but he'd be definitely on par.
Well, he'd field for less. He'd still have similar defensive stats. And,
right, but you have to buy him.
Yeah,
fast.
You. Oh, Loki, absolutely.
Those guys can at least, you know, those guys you can use them to deal with a threat after the.
My
fact.
Goodness.
Him.
Imagine
you
getting
you
to that
to
and
buy.
Saying, "Okay, by the way, you can't buy Hulk." Whew, all yeah. right. Yeah. Okay. So okay, now I'm taking it towards 3.5.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's usable. I did in fact wind up pulling him in one of my drafts and took him along with my villain team because he kind of fit in, and then
cool.
bought him way too late. But, yeah. you know, he's still a thing.
All right, Red Tornado, go for it.
Okay, so we have Red Tornado, Android. He is a TFC6 character, 3-5, 4-6, 5-6, and he's a 4-bolt, and a member of the JSA. Once during your turn, you may spin down Red Tornado one level. If you do, the next time you use an action die, add it to your prep area instead of putting it into your use pile. I'm not really sure why you'd use that. Like, you're spinning him down, and you're taking an action die and adding it to your prep area instead of putting it into your... Like, that's, I guess, kind of nice, but...
It's interesting. I still think his high fielding cost counts against him, and because he's Justice Society,
yeah.
we don't have a good way of mitigating that.
And I think, wasn't there... There are a few other guys who do similar things with your... With action dice in the set?
I'd say he's situational, but I have a hard time seeing the situation where I can really exploit this and make something good happen. So I feel like I can't even give him 2. I think he has to be a 1.5.
Yeah, I mean, there's situations where you could use him. It's just not many, and he's too expensive for what he does. His fielding costs.
What are the situations? What are those situations?
I mean, I guess if you're just spamming action dice, but...
And then say
those
you field him on.
Ones out of this
I also hate something where if I field him on level 1, he's useless to me.
Yes, this is all. I mean, you know, I
so
don't disagree with the
1.5. I have to spend a lot to make him. Yeah, that's
to make him usable twice.
Yeah, exactly. Eek. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
know.
No, he's just bad.
Oh, he's not bad, Evan. He's just good impaired. Come on. All right.
Usefulness.
There
impaired.
We go. Robin is a. 4-shield. Oh, let me say his name. Robin, Acrobatic Adolescent, is a 4-shield character. Total fielding cost of 3. Stats go 2-2, 3-3, and 4-3. When Robin is knocked out, move it to the field at level 3 if Batman is in play. Okay, so fine. So this Robin basically can't die. Okay. In draft, there's one Batman you can get, and then you have to get this rare. I mean, I guess if you have the Batman and you see this rare, you might take it. But I don't know. I guess this is something where you could, if I got Batman out, like, outside of this set, I could use, like, Robin as Blue Eyes White Dragon fodder and never actually have to lose a character. But part of why I like Blue Eyes White Dragon is it gets something in my prep area to roll the next turn. So I don't know if I don't know. Help me see the light here, Evan, if you can.
I mean, that is an interesting point that, you know, you can just, like, knock him out and he comes back and knock him out and you can actually just sort of buy anything for free with enough bolts. Well, free or half cost, I guess, is the how it would work.
I guess if I could make him still a villain and then just knock him out repeatedly.
I think there's potential for using that, but it requires so much setup.
And that's what I feel like there could be something that we're not seeing yet. It looks to me like it needs a lot of setup.
And honestly, I kind of want to say, like, his common is better, because that makes him huge, and it's cheaper to put out.
Yeah, it's a 3 shield, his common. Perhaps. I feel like this is another one of those, it's a 2.5 right now. If it looks like we can exploit it, it's 3, maybe better. If it looks like we can't, it's
that
2,
sounds
maybe
fair
worse.
To me.
Alrighty, Let's go on.
Yes. Okay, so Shazam, Strength of Hercules, is a 6 mass character, total fielding cost of 6, 5-5, 6-5, 7-7, he is a Justice League member. Whenever Shazam damages an opponent or knocks out a character while attacking, spin all of your other characters up 1 level if able. This isn't completely useless, but he sounds like he's, you know,
that's high praise.
He sounds like
our judgment, not completely useless. Well, gosh, you know, compared to the other versions of Shazam, I mean, can we say that we Captain Marvel, I refuse to call him Shazam, copyright be darned. Have we had a worse cycle of a character in Dice Masters to this point? I'm not sure.
Thing?
Okay,
Thing.
Well, okay.
Thing is kind of the gold standard of
which
bad.
Is unfortunate, because Thing is such a cool character. Yeah. All right, well then, I guess I kind of cut you off. Go ahead, Evan, tell me.
Yeah, I mean, there's a way to use him, but who he is, at a 6 cost with a total fielding cost of 6, he is your game ender, and this isn't really a game ending ability. It can help, but it's like, this will end the game in like 4 turns once all of my guys are huge. And I just, it's too slow. It's not going to win you right now. It's a win more.
I will say this, he is Justice League. But yeah, to use him, I'm probably already in a good position. He is Justice League, so he could cost less. His stats aren't bad, so he probably will damage an opponent or knock out a character while attacking, or give him overcrush, and he might do both.
Yeah.
But spinning all your other characters up 1 level is a somewhat questionable benefit. I'm not sure if I like it, but I don't know. I think this is one where we're going to have to see how he fits in, especially with Justice League.
I'm going to say he's a 1.5 at best.
See, I actually want to say, again, a similar 2.5. And he could change up or down with evaluation. I don't feel like we have enough information. If he didn't have Justice League affiliation, he'd be a 1. But because he does, and because a lot of those Justice League characters are pretty powerful, and we have a lot of abilities that deal with spinning up and down in this set, there's possibilities. So I kind of want to say 2.5. He's like fringe. He's fringe usable because of his stats. I mean, he has better stats than...
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on this
one.
Well,
okay, let's take the vanilla... Let's use the vanilla test here. 6 cost character with stats 5-5, 6-5, 7-7.
I mean, this is... It's appropriate for a TFC 6 character.
Yes.
His stats. And maybe even a little on the low side for a 6 character.
And the purchase cost is of 6 for a TFC 6 character with those stats. I mean, I think... What? He's only 1... Is he 1 attack
He's
strength below Hulk?
He's a little weaker than I'd like for that cost.
Is he? I thought, doesn't Hulk talk about at 8?
Yeah, Hulk. He's a little weaker
Slightly.
Than Hulk.
Slightly. Yes, Hulk goes 6, 7, 8. He goes 5, 6, 7. I think on an island for the stats, it's fair. His ability is of questionable usefulness. It might be great, right. It might not, and that's why I put him 2.5. These conversations are fun when we disagree. But
yeah, I'll give him a 2 at least, in that he might be useful somewhere. But I think he's too expensive and doesn't do enough. But maybe his Justice League affiliation will save him.
Perhaps he will. I think Thing will come back around. Maybe. I don't know. I could be wrong.
You think Thing will one day be a
Thing? If I'm looking at the Thing cards right now, which I am, I think that Thing is slightly more useful across the board than Shazam is on any of his forms. But that's just me. All right. Sinestro. Sinestro Corps leader. You know, they're the Yellow Lanterns, but he had to name them after himself because that's ego, man. All right. He is a 5-fist character, total fielding cost of 6, Legion of Doom villain. His stats go 2-4, 3-6, and 5-8. Your villains cannot be the target of opposing global abilities. I feel like we've seen that ability before. We've seen that ability similar before, but I don't think for villains.
There's a few characters who've had that, but just not for villains.
The problem that I have with this one is that he doesn't do what the common or the uncommon do, which are either make villains cost field for less or make get villains buff.
Or buff them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get villains a buff. So it's fine, but if I have this, I've probably also found an uncommon or a common of him. And I would tend to go that way. This is probably just, it's a 3. It's straight playable.
If it's 3, it's usable.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, Mr. Pence.
Sorry, we got to cut in here because obviously this will be old news by the time this drops. But we still want to say, because the news is there right now. We have Randy's friend, Joseph, friend of the reserve pool, has won Canadian Nationals. He was the only... We think he might be the only person who was using Jade Giant, and certainly a lot of us were talking about Hulk Jade Giant after seeing Green Goliath and some of the other things. You know, Green Goliath against Green Goliath, the Hulks just smash back and forth until something dies, and generally as everybody dies. But with Jade Giant, you smash my Hulk just knocks your Hulk out. And it was pretty cool. He was also the only person in the top 8 who was not using Wolverine, formerly Weapon 10. And certainly he was well prepared. So yeah, he and Randy have been talking a lot about what he was going to bring, and Randy and I have been talking a lot about teams in the wake of Nationals. And while this was a smaller event than U.S. Nationals, it certainly looks like the planning paid off. So congratulations, Joseph. We're thrilled, and we can't wait to hear the war stories, man.
Indeed.
All right. So
moving right
let's
along.
Move right along. Yes.
We have Mr. Pence himself. Well, I guess that would be Brainiac, but whatever. Solomon Grundy, buried on a Sunday. He is a 5 shield character with a TFC of 4. 3-3, 4-4, 5-5. He is a Legion of Doom villain. When Solomon Grundy is knocked out, other than by damage for an attacker or a blocker, knock out an opposing character. That's interesting. It wants to be cool, but I feel like he doesn't do that much that your opponent would really target him with stuff. I guess he's kind of a spoiler for those
Because
you drop him down and Hulk explodes on him and he knocks out Hulk in return.
I guess, but do I really want to pay 5 for that? Maybe? I don't know. I feel like there are other
5
answers.
And then, yeah. Well, I don't know. You're paying 6 for Jade Giant.
You are. But Jade Giant does other stuff, too. Jade Giant is
removable.
That's
true.
This only happens when he's knocked out. So you lose Solomon Grundy. Your opponent still gets what they want. They cleared your field. You might get to knock some...
Regenerate, yeah. I feel like he should have Regenerate, too.
Yeah,
if he had Regenerate, this would be a much better card.
Yeah, I just think it's expensive for what it does. We have removal for less or for more effective... Like,
I mean,
that's all that he does.
Thinking out of set... Black. I mean, you can use Blue Eyes to trigger that ability.
Yeah, you sure could, but...
But again, he's expensive for doing that.
Yeah, so I'm going to... Yeah, the fielding cost...
I'm going to give him a 1.5 just because he's expensive and hard to trigger in set. You know, in draft, he's not something you
I just
want.
Don't think he's a better option than anything we already have for doing the same things. I don't think he does enough. I think he's a 1 at best. He might be less.
Yeah.
All right. Stargirl, the Star-Spangled Kid. She's a four-bolt character, part of the Justice Society, and she has a non-standard total fielding cost of four because she goes 0 to 2. Stats go 2, 3, 3, 4, and 5, 5. When Stargirl damages a villain, you may take a sidekick from your used pile and field it. Huh. Okay. So...
a tiny baby rally.
I suppose, but this actually says field it, so depending on what you're doing, that could trigger fielding effects. Okay. Yeah.
There's some use to this.
She's not that expensive, and it takes sidekicks out of the rotation.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's tremendous uses for this right now. Like, I'm not thinking of anything right now. I think she might have more cross-set opportunities, but I think that this is, you know, usable. She's probably at least a 3.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, I'd say she's a 3.
Yeah, okay. I'm fine with that.
Maybe we'll see her get better. Maybe we'll see her get worse.
I think better. Plus, I mean, again, yep. You know, she is a bolt, so that helps too.
Yep.
Villains are something that you'll see. It's likely she will damage a villain. Maybe this triggers a situation where it's like, oh, shoot, do I block her with a villain and help you, like, mess around with sidekick shenanigans? I mean, I don't know that there's a huge impetus to just take this instead of blocking with a villain. But if it's, like, the difference between I'll take the damage and screw up your ramp versus I will, you know, take it and let you do what you plan on doing. You know, sometimes there are cases for that. Sometimes there are cases for taking a whole bunch of damage because it actually sets your opponent back.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. Tell us about Swamp Thing.
Okay. Swamp Thing, part of the green, is a 5 mass character, total fielding cost 4, and this is a straight 1/1/2/4, the old kind. He's 2/5, 3/6, 4/7, and if this character damages an opponent, knock out an opposing character. This is probably the best of the Swamp Things, which is not really saying much. But, I mean, I guess he has very unimpressive attacking stats. It sort of forces your opponent to block this big lumbering dude, unless they want to have one of their characters knocked out. But if this is a 4, I wouldn't say all over it, but I would at least consider it. As it is, I think it's like a 2. Like, it's a 2, maybe a 2.5. It's kind of usable, but it's not great.
Yeah. Yeah. None of those Swamp Things really truly thrill me.
Yep.
So.
It's the curse of the thing.
It sure is. All right, next up is Vixen, Animal Mimicry. She is a 3 mask character. Total fielding cost of 1. Stats go 2, 2, 2, 3, and 3, 3. You may spend mask to prevent all damage to Vixen from one source. Okay. So she lives.
Yes.
You know what I guess I like about this? And again, I guess with the Nationals happening and everything else in Canada tonight, I guess what I'm thinking about is, you know, she would survive a Hulk.
Yeah,
if you had masks.
One question: would you only need to use the mask once?
I believe it would qualify as a separate source when you trigger at a separate time.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I could see arguing for that for either way, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I think it's the best of the 3 of them.
Yes, but that's like saying that this is the best on this thing of rotted grapes.
Well, the Uncommon wasn't awful.
Well, I don't think that the Uncommon it wasn't awful.
No, I mean, the Uncommon was not the Common. The Common is possibly the worst card we've seen. But...
Right.
This is usable.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe on the slightly worse side of usable, but it's usable.
I'm going to go 2.5.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
I just don't see the point. All right. So
I hear we have 4 cards left.
I hear we do, too. I think they are called Super Rares.
Yep.
So, I guess you get to go on the first one.
Yes, and this is, in fact, one I've had the fortune of pulling in one of my draft... Well, not actually a draft pack. We were allowed to buy boosters while we were there, and I bought 12 because why not? And I got a Black Canary. Her super rare, Black Canary's super rare, is Dinah Laurel Lance. Her TFC is 1, and she's 2-2-3-2-4-4, still JSA. When Black Canary attacks, you may pay Bolt to prevent a target character from blocking this turn. I think it's nice thematically that she uses a Bolt even though she's a Fist character.
Yeah, we haven't really seen a lot of mixing like that before, have we?
No, we really haven't. Very little of it, I think. This is not a useless ability, and she's reasonably cheap for what she does, and I've definitely had it used against me to good effect. Mm-hmm. Blocker control is always nice. And she's got decent stats.
Yeah, I mean, you have her attacking with other things, and you get to maybe... Yeah. I think your average case scenario with this one is going to be, I'm attacking with 3, you have 3 that can block, well, I'm going to stop one of them from blocking, and now something can get through. Probably your weakest one is what's going to get through.
Right.
So... Or you block, or maybe you have some other things that have overcrush and you pick the one that does it. But I guess we're getting away from the average case.
Or you're just stopping things you don't want to deal, like who have abilities on block or something. Maybe you don't want your opponent blocking with that Aquaman Orin.
Okay.
To pull back those characters. This is definitely a usable character.
Sure.
At the very least usable, and I think is actively kind of good. I'm going to give it
her a 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Consensus!
Yay, consensus is great.
It sure is, Evan. Let's see if we can get a little bit of consensus on this Catwoman.
I want to watch the Lego movie.
Oh, boy.
Everything is awesome.
Oh, boy. I love that movie. All right. Catwoman, 9 lives, 4 fist. Total fielding cost of 3. Stats go 2-1, 2-2, 3-3. This is one of the wonkiest abilities we've had. When fielded, name a character die. Draw a die from your opponent's bag. If it is the named die, you may field it this turn and attack with it. If you do, put it in your opponent's used pile at the end of turn. Return any unnamed dice to your opponent's bag, pick up the phone, and shake it over your head and cluck like a chicken. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, so... I think one of the best takeaways from this is you can force your opponent to refill their bag at inopportune times with it.
Yes.
It's Halfling Thief, just, sort of. But with a weird ability, if you happen to be psychic or your opponent only has, like, two dice sitting around.
Oh, yes. What I mean, most...
Yeah, in draft, this is not actually worthwhile.
No, not at all.
It's just going to be too hard to actually get it to trigger. But in
constructed, this could impact ramp because now all of a sudden the stuff you wanted to PXG, you can't PXG because it's in your bag.
Yep.
This could seriously disrupt ramp without you having to do a whole lot. And at worst, she costs 2. This is worth spending 2 to make that happen. And then I'd probably blue eyes her to something and get that energy right back.
Right.
I don't mind that. I think it's an interesting card.
I think she's sort of situational, especially in draft. I think she's just bad. She's probably going to see more use outside of draft.
Well,
that
said,
if you draft her, if you actually get her in a pack, you should take her.
Oh, yeah, I think so. For her utility, unless you don't play constructed, I suppose.
Right.
For utility outside of draft, sure. In draft, I just don't see where this is useful. It's like a 1.5.
Yeah.
But outside of draft, in the current meta game, she's like a 4. I mean,
yeah, maybe that's a little high because it's still a little.
No,
tricky,
I almost said 4.5, but thought it's a little high. The ramp disruption
that's
is
true.
Huge,
yeah.
And you can set your opponent back big time.
If you manage to pull your opponent's awesome thing, and then they're taking their own Hulk to the face.
Sure, could be.
So,
yes. All right. Next up, Evan. With anticipation, tell me.
With bated breath, you all were waiting for it. It is Constantine Hellblazer.
That's a 5. Let's move on.
He's a 5. we're just going to get that out of the way now. But since you actually want to hear his particulars, he is a 2-shield character, just like all of his cards. He is TFC 2, 0, 2, 2, 2, 3, 2, 3, 3. While Constantine is active, before your opponent's clear and draw step, you may name a character. That character is fielded this turn. Ignore its text until end of turn, and it cannot attack this turn. We've already said this is a 5.
I did a whole article about it. Yeah. I mean, if you want to know my thoughts on Hellblazer, go check out that article. I've play tested with it. I don't think we're overrating it. I really do think that it is as awesome as it looks. I think it fits in so darned many places. It disrupts enough things, even though there are ways around it, that, well, you know, you're forcing your opponent to play around it. And, yeah. there are so many options here.
Yeah, there is literally no reason not to take this card if it comes up when you're drafting. No reason. In fact, you might actively be insane if you don't.
If in DC, if you have this in some removal, you have a pretty good means of control. Outside of the set, I just have so many thoughts for how this is going to be used. We'll have to see how that's shaped by the response to Canadian Nationals because of Jade Giant being the impetus for the instrument of destruction for Joseph there.
Indeed.
Because I like Jade Giant as spot removal. Jade Giant is my way around. Oh, you polymorph that thing out? Ping. Knocked him out. Doesn't matter that you got him around my Constantine.
Yep.
Regardless of any of that, this is a really cool card. This is fantastic. Yeah. It's the best super rare that we've had since Gabi and Sarena.
Absolutely.
I love what this card can do. Obviously, fielding something through polymorph doesn't count as it being fielded, so that can get around it. But nonetheless, this is a crazy card, and I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I just... If there's one card you need that everybody will want from this set, this is it.
Yes, it sure is.
This is not to say the other cards are bad.
Oh, no.
Constantine is just fantastic.
Yes. All right. Next up, we have, well, our last card, our last super rare. The Flash, connected to the Speed Force, a four-fist character, Justice League. Total fielding cost of 5, stats go 3-3, 4-4, and 5-5. When attacking alone, if you have no other characters fielded, Flash is unblockable. See, no other characters fielded is what gets me here.
Yeah, that's like, well, okay, and now I'm defenseless next turn.
Yeah. I want to say
you could use this as a bomb, but I'm like, how?
Well, yeah, he's only 5. No, I guess again I say, but well, then right, again, unblockable, so is give Ant-Man. Him that anger issues and whatever else. But
so is Ant-Man. Ant-Man is only 5 too.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets used. He can be used as a bomb. So
yeah, but he doesn't. He gets boosted. He can be used as a bomb because of Nick Fury patch.
That's true.
He's not a bomb for any other reason. Boy, I've heard some people say really great things about this. I've heard people say some really poor things about this. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think he's a 3. I don't think he's stellar. I think I probably would find a way to use Speedster, his uncommon slash rare, depending on who you talk to, him.
Yeah, I think you could make a team around him. I just don't think it's going to be a team you'd make in draft.
But if you have no other characters fielded, in what situation am I willing to do that to get at most 5 damage unless I buff him?
Yeah. I mean, it's too risky in draft where you're probably going to have a lot of situations where you're sort of lining up characters, and
it's too risky in any format when in constructed one turn is the difference between you're at 20 and you're at 0. I mean, a close game in this can be 20-0.
Yeah.
And I feel like Flash rewards you for doing something that's generally inadvisable.
Yeah, leaving yourself wide open.
Exactly.
There's potentially uses for him. I'm not sure how.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, let's just look at this set as a whole and kind of give our thoughts. The first thing that I'd like to say is, are things more expensive than they've been? Yes. But are there more synergies to take advantage of to mitigate that? Also, yes. I think they had a lot of work to do to try and get Justice League to a point where it can at least try to stand toe-to-toe with some of the other factions that we've already had out. I think it does too. I don't know that it would.
If anything, I think it's more so than pretty much any set than D&D, which is all about team synergies.
Yeah, I think they've done a pretty nice job. Villains, obviously, get a lot better. That's going to be fun. I mean, there's so many nifty things to play around with in this set, and some of it we just don't have enough context for yet. But that's a great thing. That's why we play the games.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm really positive about this set. I'm looking forward to finishing up running the numbers on it so we can see how that goes. Because I think that's going to bear out that things are more expensive in this set. We've been seeing a lot fewer TFC1 characters. I know we just saw the numbers for D&D. And D&D had interesting curves. Not quite as cheap as Yu-Gi-Oh! But I don't think we're going to be seeing that again in DC. I think DSC is going to be a lot more expensive stuff that's going to be a little trickier to field. And that's what it felt like when I was drafting it. That, you know, you have to pay a little more attention. It's not just, oh, I got some characters, I'll just throw them on the field.
Yeah, it's very much a synergy set, which is pretty cool. We haven't had it quite to that extent in this game to this point. We had a little bit with Avengers, then we had a little bit with Villains, and we did a whole article on tribal stuff. But now we have it in multiple fashions here between the Villains, the Justice League, the Bolts. There's probably other stuff we haven't quite considered yet. Shields are certainly getting more and more interesting. Unfortunately, there's nothing that really ties the JSA folks together, which is a shame. And I guess unless you decide, oh, I'm going to use teamwork, the basic action teamwork, but which is one of the OP rewards if you don't know. Overall, I mean, I'm thrilled to be able to mess with some characters that I like in a format that I like. I think lots of these slot in very well with existing teams. I think lots of them give me ideas for new teams.
Yeah, I think some of them redefine existing teams.
No, absolutely true. I think a more controlling build is suddenly going to be viable, but I think there's going to be different ways that we're going to see it. I just think it does so much for the versatility of existing builds and ideas for new builds. And will all of them be viable? Absolutely not. We're not going to start churning out, you know, top-tier decks one after the other on the front page of the website. But whatever we do put out there, the way that we improve and the way we find new things is by playing a whole bunch. And then we see, well, maybe this deck is garbage, but this one little synergy here is awesome, and we can maybe exploit that. And now we're going to build a team around this. And it's just, it all slowly takes shape. And that's just part of the fun of it, is brewing it and seeing what you end up with.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, so Evan, you know, DC is not really your bag. So I guess I have a little bit of rose-colored glasses here. Do you, where do you sort of fall on this set?
I mean, I'm glad that I feel like I'm going to be drafting it a lot because it will enable me to get all the set despite the fact that I intended not to buy a gravity feed of it. And yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of interesting stuff, and I think it's going to be, it's really fun. And I don't think it'll be. I've drafted it. It's a lot of fun in draft.
Yeah, absolutely. So many great ways to play. Talk to us. We want to hear from you. What are you finding in the drafts that you're playing? Or do you have something special going on for release weekend? When is your DC Rainbow draft? For our part, we're going to sit in a store and do a little bit of sealed play with ourselves and some friends and some other folks in the local community and see what we come up with. It should be quite a lot of fun to mess with the new sets, see how it impacts things, see how does the meta shift in the wake of, you know, what's happened at Canadian Nationals here, and then how does it shift even further with DC coming out just a couple of days afterwards. You know, I've already had some cards proxy that I've been testing with. Certainly others have been doing the same thing, and boy, just so much fun stuff to use right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And our toolkit will grow.
That's especially the best thing about it.
Yep, and just getting the spoilers from Age of Ultron can be growing even more, and that's going to shake up the meta
a lot. Absolutely,
they are legitimate.
Apparently, they were straight from the stream that WizKids did.
Yeah, which is really interesting. And I know we're getting off topic here, but looking at the numbering, I actually talked with an old friend yesterday, and there is something going on with the numbering scheme in that system.
Well, it's possible somebody put forward the idea that the Infinity Stones get involved.
Ah, at the as but like, why would they be at the end?
Like, well, why would I don't they know. Be after Evan, the super Infinity rares? Is a really big number.
yeah, no, I guess
I don't know.
Yeah, it's well, more well, of. Are they, we thought maybe they're putting the basic actions at the end, but there's only like 7 sots for them, if so. And that would also indicate Captain Universe is the last super rare, which seems odd because she seems to be one of the first characters alphabetically in the set. So,
yeah, it's really hard to say. There's
maybe
there's no
8 super rares.
Or maybe there's just a numbering issue. I mean, some of that stuff, some of those
that may not
be might
final.
Not have been perfect.
You could actually, if you look at the old spoiler images, either Maria Hill's dye has changed color, or maybe our old friend said maybe that it's Daisy Johnson is the like blue Maria Hill looking dye, and Maria Hill is another one. But we're getting off.
No, it doesn't even matter because we've seen this a lot. If you look at Darkseid, what his dye looks like in the solicit and what his dye actually looks like are two very different things. And the same thing is true for many of the early promo images. The dice don't always look exactly like their facsimile doesn't look exactly like what we actually end up
getting. Well, yeah, well, though, to be fair, this is more than like a different in shade. This is like dark blue versus light green. So,
well, that's fair too.
So,
but blue and green are related.
Yes, they're
friends.
Both, yes. They're both
all right.
Cool colors.
So there's plenty more to talk about. Make sure that you check out our new podcast this coming Tuesday. And, of course, keep it here. The Reserve Pool goodness is going to keep happening. We have the website. We have forums. You can participate. You can upload files. You can create your own blog about whatever you want to do. You can get in on our online ladder system and challenge other people, both video-based and vassal-based. We have online organized play. Let's get together. Let's make it happen. Let's just make this the best darn community that we can, everybody. This is such a great game. We've met so many people. Let's bring it together. Anyway, I'm Dave.
And I'm Evan.
And this has been The Reserve Pool. Thanks so much for listening, folks. We'll see you soon.
Bye, everyone.